Real Business Owners.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners podcast. This is episode 7. It's me, Trevor Cowley, with my partner here, Kel Goodman.
What's up, everybody?
Today we've got a great show for you guys. We have Ever Gonzalez on the show. He is a podcast expert. Do I dare say podcast expert?
Sure, I'll take it. Absolutely. In that category? Put as many experts in there as you want.
Yeah,
I'll take any of it.
Expert at everything, A through Z. So, he is the founder of Outliers. If you will, tell us a little bit about Outliers, the definition of Outliers, and what it is.
Sure, yeah. So I run a company called Outlier HQ. It's a media and events company. We do video production, but the fun part, the stuff that I enjoy the most, the passion part, is podcasting. We help others produce and run their podcasts, and we also run a podcast festival called the Outlier Podcast Festival. And we go from city to city 3 times a year hosting these events, and we bring in all of the podcasters in our community, our national community, global community, and kind of mingle them in with all these the locals in the cities that we go to. So we've been to L.A., Austin, we're going to Denver, we did one here in southern Utah, and it's been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun. So our goal and the things that we're doing, we're bringing in cool people together, meeting face-to-face, and then we kind of step back once we put the platform together to let the magic happen. And it's, we've been doing it for almost 6 years now.
Yeah.
So,
and you're actually really good at it, man. Like, we are a part of events all the time, sponsoring them, going to them, attending them, whatever. And, like, man, I can't tell you how many struggles, all the struggles people have when they're trying to put events together, get people to show up, you know? Yeah. But the one event that we attended and did a sponsorship with you, I mean, dude, there's a lot of people there. And
yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff happening.
We were looking. That was an entrepreneurial show, yeah. And we just kind of – we like going out and meeting new people, kind of putting different things in front of them. And because of who we are and what we've been doing, right, people show up.
Yeah.
And I think they keep coming back because of the program that we were able to put together. Right? It has nothing to do with us for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, the easy part is finding speakers, putting the program together. What works is the speakers and the audience coming together, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Connecting, basically.
Connecting,
yeah.
That's right. They find business partners. They find future employees, they find clients, and you know they leave Outlier thinking, man, that was an awesome event. They kind of forget who's on stage for the most part, but they remember what they felt and they remember the connections that they made, and that's what we try to do.
So that's your secret sauce, right? So a lot of people I talk to, they're like, man, my Facebook ads aren't converting, my Google ads, like, you know, my mailers, whatever it is, it's not working, there's not, you know, butts in the seats, mm-hmm. right? And so your secret sauce is you just being consistent
for sure.
Putting good content out. And,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, we're horrible at ads. I don't know how to do online marketing. We do it. We're not very good at it. I'm sure there are experts out there, but we haven't figured out the secret sauce with that. What we do know is live events.
Yeah.
And so we're sticking to it. And our audience has grown because of it.
That's cool, man.
I know that last time that we spoke, you know, a couple of weeks ago when you came here and kind of advised us a little bit, you were talking about like the size of events that you like to do, and you try to keep it, what, 200 people?
Yeah, 250. After that, for me, it's not fun anymore.
Uh-huh.
Too many moving pieces, right? Too much to manage. I want it smaller, more intimate, so that the people that do come and put money down can actually have a great experience and don't feel like
sometimes
everybody and their mother's there.
Big room, it's like, okay.
It could be a little overwhelming.
Right? And the fear starts kicking in a little bit, like, holy cow, did I bite off more than I can chew coming to this event?
Sure.
But if it's a little bit smaller, you're more open to start going up to people and start connecting with people. And that's what makes it a little bit more intimate, keeping this smaller
group. There are those introverts that want to go to these events, but, you know, 2,000 people at an event,
walk
that's a lot.
Get anxiety just seeing all these people.
And so for us, we try to keep it as easy as possible, as low maintenance as possible, right? We don't have banners on stage. We don't have all the bells and whistles for the most part.
Right.
What I pride myself is bare bones.
Yeah.
We have a stage, a mic, and the people on the stage.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, it does suck when you show up to an event, too, and you're like, man, I just feel like another number, a lead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just...
Where you're herding cattle. Yeah. You know,
that's
it's
exactly
just thousands of people, and it's just like... Do you really value me being here, or am I going to even get value here? But usually in a smaller group, and it looks like whoever's on stage is connecting with the people in the audience because it's a smaller audience. And so it's just the setting of a smaller event I mean, I'm less intimidated by it, yeah. right? When I walk into a smaller room and you feel more comfortable and confident to go up to people, communicate with people. And even, you know, in some of the, you know, after stuff where you have a drink together or whatever, you know, the networking that can happen with inside of some of the smaller, more intimate events seem to be much better than some of the large blown out.
Agreed. And that's been our bread and butter, right? One yeah. of the things that we do because of our platform and our podcast, we have 400 plus episodes. We've interviewed a bunch of cool people, right? They're doing amazing things around the world. A lot of the times, those are the people that we invite to come speak at our events.
Right.
And one of the things that I say is, listen, come speak at our events, but we need you to stick around at least half the day. Most of them stick around the entire time. But we're like, you know, do your thing, half an hour on stage. But what's more important to me is that you walk around and you meet with people.
So the magic yeah. happens
That's
off
exactly
the stage
right.
when they get to touch
That's
you
absolutely.
And shake your hand and ask
the
that,
one-on-one.
That question that they had the whole time you yeah. were on stage talking. They get at least come up to you and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or that, you know, and
yeah,
that's where the individual that attends might feel like that they're getting the most value.
That's exactly
to be
right.
able to
right. We're,
that
we're not knocking
connection.
Anything that happens on stage, right?
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
Want that great content on stage.
Of course.
And I think that's where you kind of wet their whistle, right? Where yeah. you're like, I'm an expert at this.
They
okay.
get intrigued.
And then now at the one-on-one mm-hmm. is when, again, the magic happens. That's mm-hmm. where the attendees are like, man, that was a great event. And man,
yeah.
we've been writing that for 6 years now. For
oh,
sure.
That's awesome.
So how did you get into it?
Yeah, great question. Kind of we stumbled upon it. It feels like my background.
It found you rather than you finding
kind of, right? My background's in logistics and freight management. So yeah. I, from Southern California, worked in transportation for 15, 20 years, started my own logistics company, ran it for about 5 years, sold it in 2013. And I'm sitting around thinking, shoot, what am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
Now, right? I'm still in my mid-30s at that point. And I was like, well, while I figure out what I want to do I want to start something else? Do I want to go work for somebody else? I was like, I'm going to give myself some time. So in the meantime, I was like, I can't just sit around and golf all day, right? I mean, that's great, but after
you
a while.
You could.
That's right.
But you'd start
after a while,
hating
it.
Yeah.
It feels like work sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was like, listen, I like business and I like talking to people. So
yeah.
let's just start a podcast. And so we started a podcast December of 2013. From there, we opened up a co-working space here in town, ran that for about 2.5 years. And then with the co-working space, we're like, we need something else to kind of keep these entrepreneurs coming back and mingling, again, more one-on-one. We're like, let's host some events. And so we started with small events. We
yeah.
started with a startup weekend, and then we created our own events.
When you did that, how did you get the word out that you were going to do your own event? Did you just tell friends and then just kind of say spread the word? Or
yeah, it was especially in St. George and Southern
yeah.
Utah, where we're from,
smaller town.
How do we get the word out?
Yeah,
we didn't know. We don't know.
Yeah,
right. There's not one main, newspaper really. There's not one main online thing that we can go to do it. So yeah, it was word of mouth. A lot of connections that we had, right?
Yeah.
We invited some speakers from San Francisco, from Silicon Valley, to come out, and that is what kind of spread the word for us. We're like, these top-notch guys are coming out to freaking St. George to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They came out. We had our first great events, and we didn't stop then. We had meetups on a monthly basis. We hosted bigger events.
How scary was it doing that first event? Were you...
Oh, terrified.
Yeah,
terrified. And, you know, we've had 200-plus events since we
yeah.
started. And every single time, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
We're hosting an event
You're
next week.
You're waiting for the day for somebody not to show
right.
walk in the door. But
dude, how horrible would that
yeah.
be, right? So we have an event coming up in Denver next week on the 19th and 20th. And I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, we have ticket sales and stuff, but I'm like, so what if they bought
yeah.
tickets and they don't come? And
yeah.
like, I have all these speakers lined up and nobody's there.
And
like,
that's why,
humbling.
That, yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up is because just because you were scared – you know, on that first event or every event after that
yeah.
doesn't mean it's holding you back from doing it,
yeah.
right? A lot of people let the fear of what if this or what if that hold them back from taking that next step in their business. Well, you don't really ever know until you do it.
That's exactly right.
And you can still be scared of shit. That's fine. But what's not okay is letting the fear ultimately control the decision. It's okay to be scared, but it's not okay to let the fear control the
Agreed.
Decision after the fact.
I love that.
And so at the end of the day, guys, I'm sure that you're facing decisions in your business or even maybe wanting to go into business for yourself, and you're scared of shit right now, you know, wondering about all the what ifs. But you're usually if it's a fear-based what if, it's all the what ifs are all negative. Well, what if it fails? What if I lose all my money? What if, you know, you're not looking at the positive what ifs. right? Like, what if it does blow up?
Yeah.
You know, what if it does work? What if you end up having 199 shows after this show?
Right.
You know, so just don't let fear ultimately cripple you or paralyze you, you know, throughout the process of doing whatever it is that you're doing. And you've always got to push to that next level or that next step. As Ever talked about, it originally just started as a workspace, mm-hmm. you know, on a podcast, and then it goes to an event, and then, you know, now he's doing event after event, and then you have Outliers, and, you know, so stuff can get bigger and bigger, but you kind of have to force it to happen.
Agreed.
And get past those barriers of fear.
You know, one of the things that we pushed past the fear, and it was great, and we started kind of getting big in the head a little
bit.
We're like, hey,
you get a little cocky.
We got this figured out.
You know?
Perfect. We put on the events, people come.
Yeah.
So a humbling experience that I had early on, we were having event after event, successful, and we're like, dude, let's blow this up. So we're like, let's charge $500. We'll host an event at Zion National Park. We'll get all these executives to fly in, and we'll have 3 days of awesomeness. Dude, we sold one ticket.
Really?
We thought we were expecting 150. We sold one ticket at $500.
Was it Jeremy?
Yeah, was it our business partner? Yeah.
No, I'm just teasing. No, I remember actually Jeremy talking about that or going.
That was a retreat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But our very first one that we got, were like charging a ton of money, because we usually charge $100, $150.
Yeah.
This one we're like $500. It's gonna be awesome. 3 days in Zion National Park. Some guy from New Hampshire bought a ticket, and the day's approaching, and freaking, we're not selling any other tickets. So we canceled it.
Yeah.
We had a eat humble pie, and we're like, dude, we can't do this. So the guy from New Hampshire, we're like, hey, I know you already bought your ticket. I know that you already have your plane ticket coming out.
Oh, everything.
Come on out anyway. We'll show you around, because we had a big team back then. And he came out, and we kind of took him out to Zion. We met him. We introduced him to all of our business friends, and he actually had a good time. But it was still kind of humbling to go back online and say, hey, guys, remember that event? We're canceling it. Because no sales. And so we kind of learned from that. We didn't ask anybody what they wanted, right? We didn't do any market research. We're just like...
You're assuming.
We're outlier.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go to Zion. Let's charge $500.
Yeah.
And then nobody shows up. So now, right, as business owners, we have to give people what they want. We either have to solve a problem or give them what they want.
Yeah.
And so now we're listening. And so people responded well to our podcast festivals. So now we're giving them more podcast festivals.
Yeah.
And
that's
so, great. it's follow your heart. If you're afraid, push past it, but be smart about it for sure.
Yeah, and if you do strategic. Fail and that fear comes true, it's like you don't give up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it does happen.
Yeah.
You know, like we're afraid that things are going to happen, and sometimes they do happen.
In a lot of cases, if you do fail, you fell into a new opportunity, right?
Yeah,
and so you try something that you think is ultimately going to work, maybe like business events or whatever it is, and if you're not maybe getting the response that you want, you adjust it to a podcast event because maybe that's the customers are wanting more so information on how to do a podcast or where to go to buy the equipment or whatever it is. But in a lot of cases, you'll fall on your face, but then you'll see why you failed, and then you'll see a new route or a new opportunity present itself from that failure. It happens every single time. When you get dealt a major blow, always keep your eyes peeled for that next move, right? It always is just adjusting. It's throwing the roadblock so that you go down this path because that path isn't the one that you were supposed to go down. It's great that you got all the way there. It's just redirecting you.
Exactly.
And
that's
how you should view a failure, is it's just redirecting you to the new course that you should be going on anyways.
And it wouldn't have helped us if we didn't learn from that, right? Like you're saying.
Yeah,
so luckily we learned from that mistake.
You learn and adjust.
And we adjusted. That's right.
If you don't adjust, you'll make the same mistake
and we didn't
over
stop,
and over. Yeah.
Right? If we would have stopped and we would have said, forget events, we're going to do something else.
Yeah.
Dude, that would have been burning in the back of my mind for the rest
forever.
Of my life. Yeah.
Yep.
But we picked up and we hosted another event and it was great.
Yeah.
If you will, tell us a little bit about, you know, your upbringing, your childhood, you know, whether it was just a normal childhood, middle class, whether you grew up, you know, struggling or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I want people to understand that, you know, success doesn't have a specific background. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess taking it all the way back, I was born in Mexico, right?
Okay.
I was 3 years old when my family illegally crossed the border and into California. Grew up in L.A., very poor, right?
Yeah.
6 months into us being in the U.S., my dad was like, hey, this sucks. This is hard. I'm going back home. I'm going back to Mexico. My mom's like, we're not going to go back after what we just experienced.
Yeah.
crossing the border, right? My mom was early 20s with me, three, and my sister that was six or seven at the time, right? Crossing by yourself with a smuggler, right? Yeah. Anything could have happened. Horrible things could have happened.
Yeah.
But we made it, and we were in the back of trunks and all that, freaking crawling in the desert. Anyway, we made it to the U.S., and my dad's like, I'm going home. She's like, okay, see ya. I'm going to stay. And so she stayed.
Oh, wow.
We grew up. She grew up, you know, she raising kids in a new country, new language, jeez, young, poor.
Yeah.
And she struggled, right? She, young, single mom. My grandmother came into the picture, kind of took care of us where my mom worked several jobs, you know, scrubbing toilets, all that stuff. Yeah, so we struggled early on, but literally like the American dream, man, she dedicated herself and she learned the language. She became a registered nurse, right, and all that stuff. And wow. So our journey was, you know, getting better and better and better. In, I think, 84, 85, Reagan did amnesty, right? If we'd been in the country longer than 1979, we can apply for citizenship. We did. We became citizens. And it was insane. A bit of a struggle. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. We were young. We were poor. We didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Grew up in Maywood, which is in L.A., and graduated from high school there. Served an LDS mission at 19, went out to New York City, Spanish-speaking. Came home and kind of stumbled into logistics. But it wasn't always fun. It wasn't always pretty. But you know, whose childhood is, right?
Yeah. So the education level stopped at high school. You didn't.
Yeah.
Move
no.
On to college,
I tried.
Or?
I tried college. I couldn't sit through it.
Yeah.
I tried. I went to three different schools, and I think I have one full semester under my belt. I would go and, you know, do my thing for 3, 4, 6 weeks. I was like, man, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And so I would drop out, start again, drop out. And did that three times and it didn't work for me. So I was like, there must be something else, man.
Yeah.
I just can't sit still long enough because this is boring stuff for me. And so I just kind of went to work and learned everything I could about logistics. And I became really good at it and got paid a lot of money for it. And then eventually started my own business. But school isn't for everybody,
right?
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, we're
in that club.
Yeah. Me and Kelly are in that club for sure. You know, in regards to that, I mean, I mean, I don't think that the education system teaches entrepreneurship. It gives knowledge in specific industries like, you know, accounting or an attorney or a doctor or whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean it teaches you how to start your own law firm or start, you know, own doctor's office or whatever. There's a lot of stuff in this entrepreneurship game that has to be learned through falling on your face, right? So, you know, again, there's always pressure to go to school and be educated and this, that, the other, but no matter how much education that you have, it's not going to fully prepare you for the struggles that you'll face anyways.
I know a lot of people that have degrees that are completely idiots when it comes to business or anything in general.
Yeah.
Others that barely have a high school education that are killing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about money. I'm just talking about life, right? They understand it and they're doing things that they want to do and they have the freedom to be able to kind of pick and choose what they want to do.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right, on my end, my wife has a master's in biology, right? Very smart, right? Went to school, obviously did all that stuff.
Very book smart.
And I'm the opposite, right? And so I'm not knocking higher education. I want my kids to go,
of course,
if they want to go and get as much education as they want. But you don't need it. If that you're not that kid, that's okay.
It is.
So one of my kids says, hey, listen, I want to go be a freaking plumber or I want to go do something else. Let's go do it. Yeah. Let's go figure it out. But especially with debt, right? With higher education, man, it's kind of... It's tying a lot of these kids' hands.
Yeah.
They have to go to that 9 to 5 and then some to just pay off the debt that they incurred.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody walks out of, university or college with, you know, $40,000 in debt, you could have taken that. Yeah, and that's a conservative number. If you would have gave that same kid $40,000 and said, go start your own business. Mm-hmm. They could have burned and wasted that $40,000, but the knowledge that they would have gained
been an education for
exactly,
sure.
Right? So you can either do self-education by burning through money and figuring out what doesn't work, or you burn through money and get education, but that doesn't mean you know how to apply it in an entrepreneurship type standpoint. Right?
And education means a lot of different things. There are trade schools, there are these coach schools, mm-hmm. right? 10 grand, 15 grand, and you learn how to cook. Man, you can make good money doing that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no one single path to success. Like, I, I have the same talk with my kid because I got a kid going to college right now, and he was really on the fence what to do. I love baseball. I want to keep playing, see where that goes. I'm like, then go. He's like, oh, I don't know if college is for me. I'm like, then don't go, man. Right. Like, don't do it for someone else. Don't do it for your parents or anything, man. Like, no one can choose your path for you. You know, figure out what you want and go for it, you know. And sometimes path is education and getting $100,000 in debt. Maybe that drives the hell out of them when they come out of college. But, you know, some people it's not, man. They're like us. They want to hit the streets running and just figure it out as we go.
I have a neighbor who we were talking a few weeks ago. She's like, I have a PhD, and my freaking plumber makes more than I do.
Yeah.
I'm like, it happens. Yeah. That's okay. I mean, it's different paths. And, you know, she wouldn't change it because it's not the money for her. But we can be successful no matter what we do as long as we put our minds to it, right?
Yeah. So true.
Life is about experiences. That's why I'm not against somebody choosing to go to college or a university, because I think no matter what, they'll still come out a better individual just learning different experiences, right, throughout that process of going to school, and teaches you discipline of homework and, you know, showing up on time. And so there's always positives. There's pros and cons to just about anything that you do. But you know, the idea and the reason why we talk about this stuff is just so that you guys know that you can come from a billion different backgrounds and you could still be successful. So tell me this. Have you ever joined an entrepreneurship group, like a paid group or anything like that, in order to be around other people that are successful, or just networking purposes? If you have, how did you like it? What value did you get from these groups?
Yeah, great question. The answer is I have not.
Okay.
I'd like them.
Yeah.
But I have not. Just because I was thinking, might as well start my own.
Yeah.
So I started it, and we charged people, right? We had these great mastermind groups that we did for several years, and it was great. So not only was I learning from the people that were in my mastermind group, but they were also paying a monthly fee, right, to be a part of it.
So you were getting paid to network.
Absolutely.
Rather than paying
I would have done it for
network.
Free.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would have paid them, but because I just happened to raise my hand and say, oh, by the way, Outlier's having this mastermind group, who let's be a part of it. You know, I mean, we had Olympic gold medalists on there. We had entrepreneurs from all walks of life being a part of it. And we met on a weekly basis. So I never paid for one, but I think it's important to find these type of mentors and these type of people that are several steps ahead of you to learn from. Right. So if you know of a group that you like, go pay the money if you can afford it.
Yeah.
If not, try to start your own.
Yeah.
We just happened to start our own just because I wanted to kind of pick and choose the people that were going to be on it. But I think it's very important. Right.
Oh,
having these people to learn from helped me and my business. And again, I would have paid them to do it. We just happened to do it ourselves.
It's smart, man. I like that.
Yeah, me too. You know, in regards to surrounding yourself with people that have been successful, I mean, that's probably if there is a shortcut, I don't believe that there's really a full shortcut on the path to success, but if there's a shortcut, it would be to surround yourself with other people that have already been there and done it, that you can lean on and say, hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? Because, you know, I haven't been a business owner as long as Kel has. So Kel sees things from a different point of view on some business deals than I do. Sometimes I'll get overly excited about something and then he'll say, well, what about this or what about that? And he brings more of a logical perspective to something. And I'm like, oh, man.
So it's a great match then.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But he just has far more experience than I do. And so when you join these groups, you get to surround yourself with people that have more experience than you. And that's always a positive thing to have somebody like that to kind of lean on and get your questions answered, because they may co-sign for you and say, yeah, that's awesome. But they might say, yeah, dude, I've tried that. You don't want to do that. And it could save you $5,000-$10,000 and maybe 6 months of headache. So
I'm pro these entrepreneurship groups. One of the things that you guys are doing and that I've done and would highly recommend is a business podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Man, because of the podcast, right, now we're at a different level because we have so many and we're so far into it. But in the beginning, I was cold calling people that I read articles about or saw online.
Trying to get them on the podcast.
Trying to get them on the show just because I liked their hustle or I liked what they were doing. And a lot, you know, a lot of them said yes, but that's a kind of a mentoring thing for me too.
Absolutely.
Our show, it's successful, but even if nobody was listening to it, I would still
do
it.
You were still getting so much value from it.
I would still do it.
Yeah.
Even if it was just me and the guest and nobody else cared about it.
Yeah.
Just because I get so much from that hour interaction that I get with a high profile entrepreneur or successful person. And a lot, because they have great experiences on our show, a lot of them, we've become friends.
Yeah.
Right? And so now I just kind of reach out to cool people that are interesting to me And we get PR firms trying to get their entrepreneurs on our show as well. And we kind of pick and choose now. Now we're at that level where we can kind of say no, hey, thanks, but no thanks. And others where we call and they take our calls now, which is fantastic. Anyway, start a podcast.
Yeah.
And again, don't worry about sponsorships. Don't worry about all that stuff in the beginning. Talk to amazing people and learn from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's awesome.
I've noticed you've said that a lot. You're like, you look for cool people and amazing people. And I think that's cool, man. You're always looking for the good in people, right? But what is it that you see in people that you're like, oh, that makes them interesting?
Yeah. Anybody, and just kind of like with our name, we're looking for outliers.
Yeah.
The people that are doing things that are out of the norm.
Yeah.
Right? For the most part, there are a lot of successful people that work 9 to 5, which is awesome. Right? They have a corporate job, all that stuff. Good for them. I'm looking for those that are doing something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Right? Making money from their home, from the beach, or doing something that doesn't necessarily bring in a lot of money, but they're doing something that they're passionate about. Those are the people that I want to talk to.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? I don't want to talk to a Microsoft engineer or CEO or whatever. I mean, for the most part, we know that story. Right? I want all these other stories on my show.
Yeah.
And again, just because I'm curious about it. And those are the kind of people that I want to surround myself with. My life is not conventional at all, right? We're homeschooling our kids. My wife teaches at the university because she wants to teach, right, to use her degree. But we travel quite a bit, and I bring them to all of my events. And, you know, my kids are – I have 3 kids, 11, 7, and 9, and they help set up our festivals. They sell T-shirts. They, you know, at the registration desk. And so I'm trying to teach them young that they can do whatever they want. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have to follow the normal path. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Again, right, if that works for you, awesome. But do whatever you want. There aren't any rules for the most part.
So true.
Right? If you're making $30,000 a year
any rules,
and you're completely happy, awesome.
Yeah.
If you're making $1 million a year and you're miserable, dude, that doesn't sound appealing to me.
Yeah.
Right.
I can make a lot more money being an executive somewhere else, right? We've been headhunted and invited to join other companies. But I turn them down.
Yeah.
I'm having too much fun.
Traveling, being with the family. Networking, right?
I work from home when I want to work from home.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic for us. And so that's the kind of lifestyle that I want to lead.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, going into the podcast and interviewing, you know, interesting people, I guess, you know, what are your top two? If you were to pick a couple people that you interviewed that was just kind of threw you back in your seat or just super interesting.
Should we? We've had so many. He's my friend now, but he wasn't at when we interviewed him. Joe Jacoby, Olympic gold medalist in kayaking. He had a great story. So he's probably one of my favorites.
Not because of his achievement, but because the struggle prior to the achievement.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, he was just different. And he was like, I have a goal and I'm going to go do it. And obviously, Olympic gold medalist, man, you got to put a lot of time and effort into it. And I was like, I don't know that I have the discipline for that, but good for you.
Yeah.
And he did, and he now he's like an Olympic gold medalist for the rest of his life, right, with everything that he does.
What does he do now in terms of, like, being able to monetize on that?
Yeah, so he's a performance coach.
Okay.
Business and, you know, physically trying to get people in shape, and he's been killing it for many, many years. Now his daughter's about to, you know, she's at that level where she's going to
follow suit
in the Olympics as well, which is kind of cool to see.
That's cool.
Another one is Andy Weir, the author of The Martian. If you guys remember that book, became a movie with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
We had the author actually a couple times on the show, and I just reached out to him because I read the book and I loved it. And I was like, you want to come on the show? He's like, absolutely. And so we had a great discussion. And again, it was not necessarily one of those, hey, what can our entrepreneurs learn from you? Although they learned several things from him. I just wanted to geek out over the book and talk to an author that I really liked. And when it's those kind of conversations, those are our best shows.
Yeah.
Because I'm not worried about anything else. I'm not worried about a question and answer, it's just a conversation.
Yeah. See kind of
and people
goes.
Love those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that you're just like, man, I like what this guy did. I'm just going to reach out, you know, and you extend that invitation to him and they accept. I mean, so many people are afraid to do that. They're like, oh, this guy, I mean,
they're going to they probably even think that they could get a hold of him. And so, I'm not going to even shoot my shot.
That's right.
Right. Like,
they're afraid to hear that.
Email.
Sure.
Yeah. Cause what's the worst thing they're going to say? The worst thing they're going to say, they're going
to
say
no. Which it was already a no before you asked.
And they don't even know you. So who cares? It's not like you're going to run into him in the freaking subway or somewhere else and be like, hey, that's the guy. And I turned him down. Screw it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's so,
you're not going to have him on the podcast anyway.
That's right.
If you don't at least ask. So you might as well at least get to know and know.
Somebody that I've reached out to in the last 4 years several times that is still a no and I'm not going to give up is Wozniak from Steve Jobs, and he replies and he's like, "Hey, I would love to. I'm just busy. Check again." And so like every 6 months I check again, and he's
the normal 6 month check.
That's
man,
right.
What you got?
I put it in my calendar. Mark my words, he's going to be on our show just because. What an awesome story, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of guy that I want on the show, and so we will have him.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
What are some of the podcasts that you turn to just to kind of? Do you listen to more business podcasts? Do you listen to more self development podcasts? What do you turn to kind of, I guess, center yourself or get refocused or motivated or whatever it is?
I mean,
right?
I have a huge list of shows that
really?
I listen to. Maybe too many. I have to like cut it down, but. Some of the early ones that I listened to that kind of inspired me to do what we're doing is I listened to Mixergy with Andrew Warner. He interviews high-profile entrepreneurs. This Week in Startups is a good one as well.
This Week in Startups?
This Week in Startups, yeah. They have all the big boys on there, right? They're at that level. But for fun, I like listening to Armchair Quarterback with Dax Shepard, right? More celebrity comedy type of stuff. Joe Rogan every once in a while just because I like the – I like when he has brainy people on there just because Joe's, you know, he looks like a bro,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he's actually asks great questions, and he gets a lot out of it.
Like when he can play at some of those
for
higher
sure.
levels
oh,
in terms
sure.
of like, you know, when there's some high educated people on his show, he starts you just look past him. You don't think he's going to be that brilliant, but when he starts talking about, oh, I know a thing or two
he's
about
that,
and then starts going into some
deep shit. And he can keep up with a lot of these guys.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I don't listen to when he has his buddies, his comedy buddies on.
It's
a little
much.
Too much, but when he has some of these scientists and things like that, that's when I listen to it. I listen to, you know, other shows that I like. Or recent one was one on Bigfoot. I don't think about Bigfoot. I don't believe in Bigfoot, but it was just kind of somebody that was going to join us in Denver to do a live show. And so I was like, I'll turn it on, listen to it, see what it's all about. And she did a great job talking about Bigfoot, whether it's real or not real.
It's a legendary story, man.
I don't care, but she was such a great storyteller that I was hooked.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just like great stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So podcasts that have great stories, no matter what kind of podcast it is, I'm in.
That's cool.
Do you even listen to music anymore?
I do.
Or do you mainly?
No, it's half and half.
Is it half and half?
Yeah. Because I can't live without my music.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where I actually start feeling guilty listening to music.
Yeah.
Right? Where I'm like, am I wasting time right now listening? Because I'm not necessarily putting anything into my mind that I'm getting value from.
See, I disagree.
Right?
Like, I disagree. It's not... You're thinking about it as the podcast is going to bring you value because you're going to learn something.
Yeah.
But the music, it's letting you relax. It's opening your mind. You know, as you're listening to music, especially music that you've heard before, you're bringing it in, but your mind is still racing. And I think that's where some of your ideas come from, whether it's a business idea, creative idea. So don't knock the music. I think listening to music is very important.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just like people say, all my great ideas come in the shower. Man, some of my great ideas have been driving the car, listening to great music.
Yeah.
And so that's where inspiration comes from.
Hmm.
So don't feel guilty about listening to music.
That's where I usually have my greatest ideas in the car, driving, listening to music. And I don't even realize it. You know, I'm just...
All the places that it's hard to write something down.
That's right.
You know?
You're like,
brilliant
and then you forget
idea.
About it.
And you're like, oh, right before you close your
that's
eyes
right.
and go to bed.
That's right.
We talked about that today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, holy shit. But that, and they say that it happens like that because... There's not a whole lot going on, and when it starts getting quiet right before you go to bed or when you're in the shower, people aren't coming after you. Like at the office, you know, when you're at work, people are coming to you with problem after problem or, hey, here's this, here's that. Your brain can't free think, right, and come up with ideas while you're already solving problems that are in
That's
queue,
exactly right.
right? And so when your mind's still at night right before you go to bed, all these ideas start popping in, or if you're driving in the car when you're not getting bothered, all the good ideas – you know, pop into your head, but it's
important. One of the CEO of LinkedIn schedules two hour breaks.
Blank time.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not replying to emails. I'm not taking meetings. I'm just going to sit here for 2 hours and see what happens.
That's smart.
That's
you're basically killing all obligation, and everything else to let your mind have that open range.
And a lot of people are like, just sitting there?
It's not going to be productive until the next billion-dollar idea hits.
Just like Bill Gates takes it to a different level. He takes, 2-3 weeks a year where he's up in the mountains by himself, nothing but books and notepads.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of his great ideas come from.
You know, I was a part of a group led up by a really experienced therapist, right? And it's self-development. And one of the exercises that you have to do when you're in this group is to find a rock in the desert outside the city and sit on it for 4 hours.
Oh, really?
Dude, it's crazy.
Did like, you do it?
Oh, yeah. And you want to get up so many times, but you just sit there.
What were some of the things that came out of it?
Oh, man, everything, business, life. Like, I was going through a divorce at the time. Like, I mean, just my kids, being a better dad, like, really your life and really designing it how you want it to be. And being a part of that group, I mean, that changed my life, man. I'm a totally different person than I was before I started that group. But just that exercise alone is kind of where you map out, like, what do you really want? You know? So that was a cool exercise. Important. Sitting there alone, under the stars, in the desert, on a rock,
you know,
for 4 hours, not moving.
One of the things that we struggle, especially young people and people in general, the silence. They're afraid of the silence, right? They're afraid of looking in inward themselves. And so that's why we distract ourselves with social media, with music, with podcasts. But it's important to unplug as often as you
can. It is. I was afraid of the coyotes, man. It's scary, though, too. I could just hear them yapping.
Well, no, they say that that's where, like, all creativity happens, right? Is, like, when you're a kid and you're like, I'm bored.
Yep.
And then you end up building a, you know, a hut or a playhouse or that, you know, and then, you know, a kid's imagination can start wandering. And I heard it somewhere. I forgot where I heard it, but they're saying kids' imaginations aren't as big as they used to be because they're always distracted.
They're always on, for sure.
How can they be creative and have, you know, a mind that makes something happen, like building a fort or, you know, going outside or whatever? I forgot where
that the school system put on. They had that guy come and talk about social media.
Oh, I think that's what it was.
I think it was because you came and you told me, you're like, man, this guy was like, it's okay to let your kids be bored. And I was like, dude,
that's where all the creativity starts flowing. Like he's saying, I'm going to kill 2 hours out of my day being bored, so to speak, to let your mind come up with new thoughts and new things. In regards to anybody that may be interested in starting their own podcasts, you know, what are some of the steps that they should take? You know, what are some of the apps that they should download? What would be the process of somebody saying, oh, I've thought about it, I just haven't really done it? What would be the first step?
The first thing I tell everybody is don't worry about downloads. Everybody wants to start a show and worrying about how many people are going to listen. Dude, don't worry about that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Put on a great show.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the technical things, right, you have to have a hosting company. I would recommend Libsyn. You don't need expensive mics and software to get started. Your laptop.
I think you can talk into your phone or something if you want to.
Your phone, if you want to. Your laptop, earbuds. You can use Audacity to edit. It's free software online. So there's no excuse. Or you can find ways to do it for $5 a month, right? Hosting, $5 a month. Everything else. You already have a laptop for the most part, I bet. You already have earbuds. So there aren't any excuses. Whether it's a solo show, an interview show, or whatever it is, just get started.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you're not if you look back and if you're not embarrassed of the first few shows that you did a year into it, 6 months into it, dude, you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I look back and I listen to my first ones, and it was a joke.
You're cringing. You're like, absolutely. Oh, my God, did I do that?
But because of those, I got to this level, right? Yeah. You guys, because of the first shows, you guys are going to get to that next level.
Right.
Yeah. So don't wait until it's perfect, because guess what? It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be. You're going to lose that opportunity. I tell everybody, if you're thinking about starting a show, start it because the industry is still young enough where you can dominate certain niches within that industry. It's going to continue to grow. More money is going to flow into it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Get into it now.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you shouldn't.
And honestly, the point should be like, everyone's got a story and everyone's got something to teach. And that should be your focus. It's like, what can I get? Well, what can I teach?
It's the same mindset that we ultimately had. You know, I think me and Kel were texting about it one time and it's just like, sometimes you think what you know is common knowledge because it's common to you, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's common to everybody else. That's exactly just don't necessarily know what other people know. So you've had this information stored in your head for so long that it's just like, I don't really have much to talk about. And the reality is you actually grow as an individual just by talking into a mic and letting your brain just kind of go and free flow into whatever the subject is. But and at the same time, you know, when we were texting, I was like, we probably should have saw this a long time ago, because people have been coming to us for years with advice and, hey, what should I do here? I've got 50 grand. Where should I put my money? It's just all starting to come full circle. And we probably should have started a podcast a long time ago, not 6 or 7 weeks ago.
You know,
and we held off way too long. And, you know, you guys shouldn't. If it's a thought, you should take action on it.
The crazy thing about that too is I used to turn people away all the time. I'd be like, you know, like they hit me up for advice and they're like, I don't know, man. I'm just focused on what I'm doing, you know. Now I'm like, dude, yeah, come in, let's talk.
Yeah.
Like I'm totally different now. And it's like I have people coming at noon today. They're like, dude, I need some financial advice. Yeah. And I honestly have no idea what their hurdles are. But I'm like, yeah, come in and talk. You know, I just want to help them. And they'll probably turn into a client eventually, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, dude, I mean, don't turn those opportunities away either, right? Because we've had people do that for years.
Yeah. Right, there are obviously people ahead of you financially. There are people ahead of you business wise,
wisdom wise. All that will always be there,
but
you know.
But guess what? There are people behind you as well, and so it's our responsibility, if we're good citizens, good people, to look back every once in a while and help people up.
We're maybe not trying to educate the guys that are already making $100 million, but if you're making, you know, $100,000, there's somebody that's making $30,000 that you could ultimately, you know, pass down knowledge to.
Absolutely.
If you're making $500,000 a year, somebody's making $100,000 a year, wants to know how to level up and get to that point or whatever. There's always people underneath you, and there's always going to be people above you that know more than you. But don't compare yourself to the people above. You're not trying to edge. That's not who your niche market is.
I like mentors. I have mentors.
Yeah.
And I'm a mentee to other people as well, right? And so that helps both ways. You know, and talking about the person that's making $100 million and you're at a certain level, dude, I bet that there are things that you know that they don't know. So, right, it's not like they're higher, they're more, they're better, they're all... We're all just trying to make it work, right?
Yeah.
But you have more knowledge in some places
areas, right?
That they don't, and vice versa. And so if you give, whether it's your time, your money, your resource, whatever it is, to give a little bit.
Yeah, it's so true, man.
We've received so much. We've been blessed so much, right? First of all, we're in America, right? We're free. Yeah. We can do whatever we want. Give a little. Whatever that looks like for you, right? I'm not saying dollar amounts. I'm not saying any of that. Just give a little bit, whether it's time or anything else, and you're gonna. I have like all this karma, man. You're gonna get it back,
right?
A millionfold, I bet.
I'm a believer in that too, man. And I don't want to speak for you, but going back to your tips on pathway to start a podcast is like, don't be afraid to just talk to people and ask them to come on your show. Like that's one of the biggest things I took out of talking today, because people put people up on this pedestal like they're afraid to talk to them, and they're just people like the rest of us, man.
Yeah.
Like, we're all just people, like you said. We're all just trying to figure it out. Don't matter if you're making $100 million or $20,000. You know, it's like, don't be afraid to just reach out to them.
And I've had several people where I'm nervous to talk to them.
Yeah.
Right, because they're in my mind. They're at a certain level.
Yeah,
they're doing this. Why would they take the time to talk to me? But they did, and so they must see me as an equal, or obviously not wasting their time. So might as well do it and go through it. And again, a lot of these guys have had great experiences that we're still connected. We still kind of, you know, if I'm in their city, if they're here, we connect.
Yeah.
So don't.
There's always a way to connect, because one thing that's common is struggles. Everybody faces struggle, right? And whether they're worth $100 million or $200 million or, you know, $20,000, both of those individuals have faced struggle at one point or another. One might be going through it. The other one might have already gone out the other side. But the reality of it is, I'll admit that, you know, it is scary to start a podcast, and you wonder if people are going to tune in and listen. You want to provide so much value, and you want people to love you, and, you know, you have all of these thoughts going in the back of your mind, and, well, what if this or what if that, right? All the what ifs, right? Like throwing the event, being scared, but you still did it anyways. It, just because we do what we do doesn't mean it's necessarily like easy for us, or it's not a scary thing for us. We still want to try to bring value, and every single time that we do a podcast, we're like, man, I hope somebody out there gets the message that they need to out of it, or, you know, whatever it may be. But
if your heart's in the right place,
taking action, man,
your intentions are right, it's gonna work as long as you are consistent.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can't just expect success after a couple few weeks, you know.
Consistency, that's another good point. You know, I mean, you know, we're in Ryan Steumann's Apex group, and he said, start a podcast, it's easy. You have no excuse. If you have a cell phone, you have no excuse not to have a podcast. And he's like, don't worry, nobody's going to listen to your shit. He's like, hey, who cares if you screw up? Like, it might take a year before you start really getting listeners. So
But the benefits are so much higher than, you know, not doing it or being embarrassed about what the first episode sounded like. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. That's what he said. Who cares? Nobody's going to listen anyways.
That's exactly right.
By the time somebody gets to the point where you get like a decent amount of listeners,
you're already kind of know
what you're doing at that point. So don't worry about the first episode being the best episode, because it's just as you get better and better at it, is just over consistency and over time, right?
You know, one of the things that I like about what you guys are doing, because I've known about you guys for several years now,
right.
but starting to get to know you guys a little bit more. Your story is you outsource. I mean, that's a great lesson for these entrepreneurs and these people that are listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
You're not necessarily the accountants. You're outsourcing that job, but you're an accounting company.
Yeah.
Right? Your clients, they're outsourcing their accounting to you guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Your entire story is outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So somebody's like, well, I don't know how to do this, so I'm not going to try it at all.
Yeah. Why would I go down go into an industry I don't know anything about?
Hire those people.
Yeah.
Partner up with those people. Because if you have some sort of knowledge or some sort of expertise, but don't necessarily know how to do the other side of it, partner up with somebody that does, right? It shouldn't stop you.
If you're great at managing people, you
exactly
can
right.
put the people in place and manage them and tell them how you
that's
want
exactly
the business
right.
to be ultimately operated. And that's kind of what we've done with Easier Accounting, is we're good on the sell side of things and networking and creating relationships, but we're not the one that's doing the bookkeeping on a day-to-day basis or doing the tax returns. We put those pieces in place,
yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
you talked about prior to the show, Elon Musk hires all the people that have PhDs. He doesn't have to have one, because he writes the check to the individuals that have the knowledge, right? So don't be scared about going into an industry that maybe you're not the fulfillment side. Maybe you're more so the sales side of it, and you can put the people in place.
So it shouldn't stop you.
Yeah.
It should not stop. You can always find those experts. Again, you can hire them. You can outsource to them. You can bring them in as partners. But you guys are living proof that it works.
Right? My thought is who's better to know how to serve an entrepreneur or a business owner than an entrepreneur and a business owner,
yeah.
which is us.
It.
Yeah.
You know, we know what the gaps are in the industry. We've seen where
the
disconnect between a business owner and an accounting firm or CPA, we know where all those gaps are, right? Like those two industries need each other. They have to have each other. A business owner needs an accountant
For
needs
sure.
business owners,
For sure.
but there's a disconnect between the communication, affordability, all that. And so—
And you guys are there.
We're there. We wanted to say, well, we know what all the problems are because we are the end customer. Let's start an accounting firm and fix those problems. Let's close those gaps between, you know, business owner and accountant. And so our job here is to bring in clients and do the networking and do some of the groups and, you know, do the marketing side of things, but as well as making sure our staff understands how to service a business owner the way that we expect them to be serviced, the way that we expected to be serviced. So we know where we felt like, man, that's just not right.
Yeah.
You know, because we've dealt with accountants and CPAs as just being entrepreneurs and having multiple businesses. It stings when you're paying, you know, thousands of dollars to a CPA or an accountant, but yet you can't get good communication, or you ask for some P&Ls because you're trying to get a construction loan and they can't provide it for three or four months because they're just not getting you on time P&Ls.
They're not only 3-4 months behind, they're going to take 3-4 months to get you caught up.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you need it, you know, and we dealt with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
We dealt with that issue with a bookkeeper that we had previous to owning an accounting firm. And so we jumped around. We tried a couple different avenues and just couldn't find the solution that we felt like that we needed as business owners and entrepreneurs. And so if you can't find the solution and you're dealing with a problem, if you fix the problem mm-hmm. for yourself, mm-hmm. make it available to other people.
There's a business opportunity right there.
Exactly.
Because
if you're facing that issue, other people have to be facing that issue too. You're not the only person, right? Like I told somebody one time, they're like, well, how do you start? I'm like, well, if you call around at 10 o'clock at night to get a massage and there's no massage places open, if you're doing it, maybe somebody else wants a massage at 10 o'clock at night and they can't find it either. Maybe you open a freaking massage parlor from, you know, 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night, you know, and that's the industry that you cater, whatever it is, right? Once you run into a problem, start thinking about how to fix that problem because somebody else has it too.
You know? It's shows like this that I like that inspire these entrepreneurs, right? Whether they're, you know, young, hungry people, those in their 30s and 40s or whatever, there are opportunities everywhere, and you guys are making it possible for these guys to hear these type of stories that are hopefully going to inspire others to get started. There's never in the history of the world easier time to get started in business, especially if you live here in the U.S.,
so
right?
True.
The barrier of entry is so low. You don't need thousands of dollars in loans to start a company. You can do it with $5.
Seriously.
You can do it with nothing, you know, because of the internet, zero down. Anything. Just find a freaking problem and solve it for people.
Yeah. I think it was Frank Kern just recently was like, we are living in the luckiest, best time to start a business right now. Like, there is just no excuse, you know.
There
is
no
excuse. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So,
well, back in the day, there used to you would have to go to a specific outlet to get your story or your, you know, your business out there to, you know, a consumer. And now you don't have to go through a third party like a newspaper or a phone book or, you know, a media outlet to start telling your story or start marketing your business or marketing yourself, right? You can do that by adjusting your ad spend on Facebook and creating an ad and watching it go up in flames and not get you one customer. And then you make a tweak here, a tweak here, a tweak, you know, you just keep doing that until you get that one lead. And then, you know, you might be onto something. So the last podcast we did was about testing stuff. Just keep testing it until you figure it out, right?
It's perfect. There are people that are making $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. That are less capable than
guaranteed.
You are. That are less
guaranteed.
Capable than you are.
Far so less do educated
it.
Too.
Do it. Whatever, you know, it sounds cliche, but figure it out and do it. It's
so true.
It's not going to take too much time. And I'm not saying quit your job and go do it. I'm saying go to work in the off hours, right? Put it together, figure it out.
Yeah.
Once it's ready, then you go. You
quit
take that, you take
Netflixing
that
and chilling, you know, or whatever it is that you do, you know, take that 2 or 3 hours.
And so if you're that serious, then there, nothing should stop you, right? Yeah. It's the distractions, it's our laziness, it's our fear that keep us from getting to that level that we want to be.
That's so
and
true.
Again, it's not, it's when I talk about this stuff, sometimes it sounds like I'm always talking about just the money part of it. To me, the more important thing is the freedom, right? To pick and choose 100%. Where I go, who I work with. The projects that I get involved in.
You would rather make $200,000 a year doing whatever you want with freedom than $500,000 a year tied down. And,
any day of the week, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. If there was one piece of advice that you would give somebody thinking about entrepreneurship, what would that piece of advice be, whether they're an existing business in the middle of their struggle or maybe, you know, a younger person or even an older person that's thinking about making a transition? What would be that one piece of advice that you would say, hey, before you go into business, you should know X? Yeah. What is X to you?
Great question. I would say figure out what your strengths are and then double down. Right? We think that we need to know a lot about a lot of different things in order to be a successful business person. We just talked about this. Outsource what you don't know. So if you're good at sales, double down at sales. Be better at sales. If you're good at accounting, if you're good at, you know, engineering, whatever it is that your strengths are, people, putting on events, double down on that and then have other people take care of all the other stuff, right? We talked about this before, but, you know, the guy that comes to me at an event and says, hey, my name is so-and-so and I work in insurance. Oh, and by the way, I can sell you a house and I can also do your lawn.
And I do credit repair, and I do this.
Screw that.
Yeah.
No, you can't
it's
do
like,
any of it.
What do you do?
That's right. You can't do any of it well enough for me to want to hire you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the guy that comes to me and says, hey, I do this.
I specialize in boom.
Yeah. I am the best at this. That's a guy I want to hire.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't want that guy to know all these other things. I want him to know that how to do what I hired him to the best possible. Right? Accounting. You guys are the best at accounting, right? Because you brought the best people in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do anything else for the most part.
Yeah.
So you're double down on the things that you're the best at. So that's what I would tell somebody that's coming up. Figure out what your strengths are, right, as an individual or a company, and then focus on that. Put more time, more resources into it, because that's what's going to make you the guru, the expert, the whatever you want to call it, in that niche, in that industry. Don't spread yourself too thin.
That's super good advice.
Too many people fail because they spread themselves too thin, or you know, you get introduced at a conference and you're all over the place. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
But you come into a conference or you come into a room or saying, I only do this and I do it well, that's the guy I want to talk to all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. How old are you?
I'm 43.
43?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you look younger than that. But, yeah, dude, thanks. You're so wise.
You read a lot of books?
I read a lot of books, talk to a lot of cool people, yeah. Right? Dude, I'm just taking all the stuff that I've heard in the past, and I'm just putting it together.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's real, and it works, yeah. Right? And again, some of this advice might not work for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to work for a lot of you guys
that are
listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to connect with you a little bit more ever, where would somebody find you? Website, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah, website, outlierhq.com, outlierhq.com, social media as well, at outlierhq, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Connect with me. You can easily find my email contact information online if you want to connect. I always respond, and so... always looking for cool people to talk to. Either have on my show or just to kind of connect absolutely. With.
What's the next event you got coming up in Denver? What's the premise of that
The podcast festival.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. Downtown Denver, July 19th and 20th. We're flying in experts, but then we're also looking at the podcasting community there in Denver, and we're kind of bringing them all together to have a great time.
If people wanted to know more about that, that would be at outliershq.com?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, guys, if we brought value to you, make sure that you tell a friend, family member, like, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. And we appreciate you guys tuning in and hope you guys got value out of this episode with Ever. We appreciate it.